Take your Bible this evening, and I would like for you to turn to Exodus chapter number 9. Exodus chapter number 9. Exodus chapter number 9. Find verse number 22, if you would please. Exodus chapter 9. Look at verse number 22. Exodus 9:22. Once you find it, why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to read out loud. We'll read through verse 27. The Bible says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent, and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." The lesson tonight is this: helping people by admitting when you're wrong. Helping people by admitting when you're wrong. Okay, that's the sermon. Let's go home. I really don't want to teach on this because one of the hardest things in the world for me to do is to admit when I'm wrong. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Help us, Father. Oh, maybe it is we need our pride to be checked or put in place. Maybe tonight humility is the issue. But Father, I do know this. I know that the human race should understand we're wrong, and we're wrong often. Now bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Steve, will you make sure the music is off out of doors now? Okay, and if you'll look right this way, the Bible says here, it says, and so I remind you, this is lesson number 27 on the subject of helping people. And folks, I believe if we want to help people, I think we're going to have to admit when we're wrong. I think it has something to do with relationships. I know it has something to do with your relationship with God. I'll read to you again in Exodus 9:27. It says, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked." You know what Pharaoh said? He basically said, "I was wrong. I was wrong." Let me bring you up to date. Let me tell you a little bit about the story. God's people were in captivity in Egypt. Their captor was this man by the name of Pharaoh. God uses Moses as a spokesman and a leader to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people out of this captivity." And there came a showdown between Moses and Pharaoh, which was actually a showdown between good and bad, or good and evil, or God and Pharaoh. Moses, and some of you have heard the story, but Moses cast down his staff or his rod, and it turned into a serpent. Oh, but Pharaoh's sorcerers did the same thing. Moses turned all the water in the land into blood, but the sorcerers for Pharaoh did the same thing. Moses had, through God's power, covered the land with frogs, and then the sorcerers for the other side did the same thing. Moses covered the land with lice. Now, the sorcerers did not match that, but the Bible says, as a result of it, they hardened their hearts. The land was covered with flies, and they again, the enemy or the bad guys, hardened their hearts even more. They became more full of pride. They became more locked in or stiff-necked about it all. All the cattle died, and everyone was covered with boils. And as we just read, there was an outrageous hailstorm that came in the land. Now, Pharaoh was a leader, and these people in his land were going through all of those things. The blood, the fire, the lice, the flies, their cattle died. They were covered with boils, outrageous storms of hail and fire. And finally, Pharaoh said, I have sinned, and I am wicked. Those are pretty hard words for the human race to want to say. We want to say, he was wrong. We have a hard time saying, I was wrong. We want to say, she was wrong. We have a hard time saying, I was wrong. We want to say, they were wrong. We have a hard time saying, I was wrong. We want to say, you are wrong. We have a hard time saying, I am wrong. Man's pride keeps him from saying, I'm wrong. Man's ego tends to cause him not to want to say, I'm wrong. Man's self-righteousness seems to keep him from wanting to say, I'm wrong. Man should say those words daily, but he actually says them rarely. Today, tonight, let's let the Bible reveal to us those words. Those words affect on us as Christians and others, and how it affects God. We could help people more if we were willing more often to admit when we're wrong. We're very good at admitting when we're right. I won't need to teach a lesson on admit when you're right. It won't be necessary. That doesn't seem to be the problem. The problem is we live in the pass the buck society. We live in the no personal responsibility society. We learn in the society where children blame their parents for all their problems. We live in a society where the wife says it's the husband's fault and the husband says it's the wife's fault. We live in a society where the boss says it's the employee and the employee says it's the boss, but it's pretty rare that anybody just flat out says, I was wrong. Matter of fact, you want to give your spouse a heart attack? Next time you do something stupid, just say, I was wrong. They'll fall over dead. They did not expect. They thought it would be a war before anybody would admit to wrong. Now, stay with me, if you will. Let me say, number one, there's a group of people in the Bible who said and needed to say, I was wrong. For instance, we just found out that Pharaoh was willing to say, I was wrong. I sinned. I did the wrong thing. We read that in Exodus 9, verse number 27. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Balaam. How many of you have ever heard of Balaam? Will you raise your paw? That's good. Balaam had to say, I was wrong. Numbers chapter 22, verse 34, it says, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I've sinned. You know what he was saying? I was wrong. I was wrong. The king in the Old Testament by the name of Saul. Saul had to say, I was wrong. In 1 Samuel 15, 24, it says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Samuel was the preacher. Saul was the king. The king said to the preacher, okay, I admit, I was wrong. David needed to say, and did say, I was wrong. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, it says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned. Nathan, again, was the preacher. And here is David, a leader. And David said to the preacher, I was wrong. I was wrong. I admit, I was wrong. There's a fellow by the name of Shimei in the Bible. Shimei needed to admit that he was wrong. And he did. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20, it says, for thy servant doth know that I have sinned. That is Shimei talking. Shimei said, I was wrong. I was wrong. I blew it. I did the wrong thing. Job actually needed to say, I was wrong. In Job 7, verse 20, Job said, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? Job admitted that he did something wrong. He sinned. Micah, in Micah chapter 7, verse number 9, he admits that he was wrong. He says, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned. What was he saying? I was wrong. I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. I didn't handle it right. Judas, we all know about Judas. Judas was wrong, and he needed to admit to being wrong. Listen to what he said in Matthew 27, 4. He said, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. What was Judas saying? He said, I was wrong. I was wrong. Achan in the book of Joshua needed to admit that he was wrong. Do you know that Achan did wrong, and there are a lot of people hurt because of it? And maybe had Achan admitted to being wrong sooner, maybe the number of people that were hurt could have been minimized, but it was maximized because Achan wouldn't say, okay, I did it, I'm wrong. Joshua 7, verse 20, it says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. Joshua was the mighty captain, Achan was the soldier, and they were trying to figure out what went wrong in regard to a certain incident in the Bible. And Achan, nobody was wanting to admit that they did wrong. And Achan didn't admit until later on, but finally he said to Joshua, okay, I was wrong. The prodigal son was wrong. And the prodigal son needed to admit that he was wrong. In Luke chapter 15, verse 18, it says, the prodigal son said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. The prodigal son needed to say to his dad, Dad, I was wrong. Dad, I did wrong. Now, young people, let me tell you something. Some of you could cut the discipline that is pressed upon you by your parents. You could cut it short. You could minimize it if you just say, I was wrong. I was wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong. I was wrong. Do you know, employee, if you could learn to say to the boss, I was wrong, when you're wrong, it may go a little bit smoother for you. Can I tell you, I don't want you to use this as a ploy, but if you get pulled over for speeding, if you want, you can deny it. You can do whatever you want. But if you get pulled over and they say, I caught you doing 75 in a 65, and you say, I was not, you may be in for a battle. Now, if I were the police officer, I'm more apt to, if I pulled you over and you were speeding like that, and you said to me, sir, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and I know better than that. I'm more apt to say, I think there's a repentant spirit there. I think that this person, maybe I could give them a warning. But if their ego is so pressed that they will not admit to their obvious wrong, then maybe the punishment needs to be strong enough to get their attention. This is so true in many, many, many parts of life. You students in school, if you've done wrong and you're called on the carpet for it, admit to doing wrong. You might impress the teacher with the character that is strong enough to take personal responsibility for your wrong. So, I just say to you, if you want to help people, we need to learn to humble ourselves and admit when we're wrong. There are all sorts of people in the Bible, I just gave you a big long list of them, who admitted they were wrong. Secondly, there's a lot of sins that you and I could commit that would require us then to say, we were wrong. For instance, let me remind you of some of the biblical illustrations that I just gave. I gave you a list of people that needed to admit that they were wrong. Let me tell you what they admitted to being wrong about. I can't give you the entire list. That would take forever. I can give you a list, and we know the difference between right and wrong, but let me show you some Bible stories where they needed to admit to God, to someone, that they were wrong. Obviously, the story about Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh's sin was he was rejecting God, rejecting God's leadership. And if you remember correctly, I read you the passage of Scripture earlier. Pharaoh did say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Balaam. Now, what was Balaam's problem? The reason why Balaam had to admit that he was wrong is Balaam yoked up with the liberal religious crowd. He yoked up with the people that had less standards, not more standards. He yoked up with the religious yahoos instead of staying with the old-time religion. And he goofed a lot of people up, and Balaam had to come to his senses and say, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong for deluding my Christianity in front of those people. And that's what he needed to admit to his wrong about. King Saul. What had Saul done? Saul was a fella that wanted to serve God, but do it his own way. You all ever heard the old commercial for Burger King? Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. They go on to say, at Burger King, just have it your way. The human race is so guilty of humanistic practices we're willing to say, I'll serve God as long as I get to do it my way. You'll see on an 18-wheeler a sign that says, go to the church of your choice. You're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You ought to go to the church that God wants you to go to. And that would be one that would be right with the Word of God. Saul was guilty of serving God, but wanting to do it his own way. Let me tell you the story. Saul had been commanded by God to destroy the Amalekites and anything that appertained to them, but he disobeyed God. And he said, you know what? God told me to destroy everything, the people, and he wanted the sheep and the oxen. He wanted it all destroyed. But Saul said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep back the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen because I'll give those as a sacrifice to God. But the only problem was God said, destroy it all. So Saul said, well, God, you don't really know what's best. And God, I'm not going to destroy it all. And God, I'm going to keep back the sheep and the oxen. But then I'll give the best of them to you. You know what he was doing? He wanted to serve God his way. He wanted it to be done his way. That's where we get that famous verse, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. But Saul, because of that, he needed to say, I was wrong. I was wrong. What was David's sin? Why did David need to admit that he was wrong? David's sin was immorality. David had done wrong. And David needed to admit that David had done wrong. And if David wouldn't admit to his wrong, David would have destroyed himself and a lot of other people. But David finally came to his senses after he had done wrong and admitted to his immorality. Shimei, his sin, what was it? His was the disrespect of God's chosen leader. Shimei had done wrong. And he actually was throwing dirt at King David while David traveled on his horse. Shimei cursed him and bad-mouthed him. And finally, Shimei realized, I've done wrong. I shouldn't have talked about my leader that way. I shouldn't have said those words. And finally, he came to his senses and he admitted and he said, I was wrong. Job, in the scripture we read that he admitted he was wrong, and it had to do with his pride. You know what happened? Job had gone through all the torments and all the difficulties in life, and he had done so well. It kind of went to Job's head a little bit that he had done so well going through all the trials, and before long, pride was in his conversations, and God had to get his attention, and Job had to say, I did wrong. I shouldn't have behaved that way. Micah's sin, and the reason why Micah in the Bible had to admit that he was wrong is a result of him setting a wicked example for those before him. He knew to live better than what he was living. And he wasn't living the example. He wasn't living up to what he had trained to do. And you know, there's a lot of people like that. There are people in here, you've been trained to live better than you're living. But you're not living up to the potential that God's given you. And there are some people that are watching you, and you're hurting them by not living up to the potential that God, up to the training that God's given you. But Micah had to admit, I was wrong. I was wrong. What was Judas? Judas was a leader that became disloyal. If you remember, Judas was a part of the inner circle with Jesus Christ. If you may, or you might even put it this way, if Jesus would have had a staff, Judas was on his staff. He was a treasurer. And Judas ends up betraying Jesus, and he sells him out for 30 pieces of silver. But, you know, Judas finally came to his senses, and Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. I was wrong. Achan had stolen. He took something that did not belong to him, and he needed to admit, I was wrong. The prodigal son. What was the sin of the prodigal son? Well, he turned on his training and rebelled against his parents. He hurt his mom. He hurt his dad. We know that he had at least one brother. He may have had other siblings, but he hurt his brother. He ran away from home. He went to the pig pen. He ended up losing everything that his dad had given him. And finally, he came to his senses. Now he smelled like manure. By the time he came to his senses, he was a mess by the time he came to his senses. But he finally said, I'm going to go apologize to my dad. I was wrong. So, we see many admitted they were wrong in the Bible. Now we've seen what sins or what reproaches caused them to say they were wrong. And I couldn't give the entire list. There's somebody out there, you have been wrong about something, but you won't admit you were wrong. And that's between you and God, and that doesn't mean something to most of you, but it is between you and God, and you ought to want to get it right. And I think when we're wrong, we ought to admit it to God, but I think also when we're wrong, we ought to admit it to the people that maybe we have wronged. Number three, and you say, well, what are the benefits to admitting that you're wrong? Okay, I'll give you a few of the benefits. For instance, let me read to you from the book of Job. You remember we talked about Job and his pride, and he finally admitted that he was wrong. In the same passage of Scripture, it says this. In Job 33, verse 27 and 28, it says, he looked upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Now, that passage of Scripture, Job had become arrogant and proud. God said, Job, your pride, you're sinning. Job admits that he was wrong in his arrogance or in his pride. And this is what he said. He said, it profited me not. You see, I believe that Job, by admitting he was wrong, realized, he came to his senses and realized, when I don't admit I'm wrong, it's not really profiting me. You see, you know, one of the reasons why we don't want to admit we're wrong is because we think we're getting something out of it. Now, wait a minute. If you are wrong and you won't admit you're wrong, any prosperity that seems to come your way shouldn't be yours anyway, and God in heaven really knows the truth. So is that real prosperity? Why, no, it's not. That's not prosperity in God's opinion. And so Job said, I need to admit I was wrong. Because being wrong and not admitting it was not really helping me. I was not really prospering by denying that I was wrong. Let me give you this. I think we ought to admit when we're wrong, because that then will cause people to forgive us. I think when you admit you're wrong, God will forgive you. Well, that's a good thing. What are the benefits? What are the benefits of admitting when you're wrong? Well, one benefit is God will forgive. I also think this. I think people will forgive. You say, well, what if they won't? Well, you're not supposed to do what you do based on what other people are going, how they're going to behave or how they're going to respond. You say, if I admit that I was wrong, then aren't they going to hate me? If they do, they'll be wrong for it, but you'll be right for admitting. You'll be right for saying, okay, I didn't handle that right, or I was wrong. Or, as it's said over and over in the Bible, I have sinned. What is that? I've done wrong. I admit I did wrong. What is another benefit of admitting when we're wrong? I think that God then can restore us to our full spiritual usefulness. Folks, you have to understand something. When you do wrong and don't admit it, you have begun to wear down your spiritual usefulness. You say, but nobody knows I did wrong, and because nobody knows I did wrong, I'm still doing what I do for God. I know, but you are depleting your own energy. You're bleeding yourself out. But if you admit that you did wrong, then God can forgive, and then God, you don't have to lose all your spiritual energy. You don't have to lose your usefulness. Sooner or later, doing wrong and denying it and doing wrong and lying about it, sooner or later it's going to catch up to you, and the bottom's going to fall out of this thing, and you're going to be in a mess. So, by admitting when we're wrong, both to God and to the people that we've wronged, it makes it so that there can be a restoration of our usefulness, both by them and by God. Also, saying the words, God, I sinned, or God, I'm wrong, that'll glorify God. It is God's Holy Spirit, the conscience that you have, the Scripture that we use, those things, when you obey the Scripture, when you obey the Holy Spirit, it glorifies God. And when you get under conviction and when you begin to realize you were wrong and you just need to admit to it, when you do that, it will bring glory to God. Not all the time does God get glory because you and I have victories. Sometimes God gets glory when you and I fail, but we admit to it and we practice the Bible in regard to our admission or in regard to our confession or in regard to our humility. God gets glory from that as well. Let me tell you this. And this is very, very big if you ask me. I think a benefit of admitting when we're wrong is that you're going to feel better. Oh, the misery of knowing you're wrong and you won't admit to it. Oh, the misery of knowing you're living a dual life. The misery of having to fake everybody out while you're doing wrong. That catches up to you. It will catch up to you. It's just a good thing when you come clean with God and say, God, I was wrong. We sing the song, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. That's what you want. There's a good feeling when you know there's nothing between you and God. Young people, it's a good feeling when you can know there's nothing between you and your mom or you and your dad. Let me go on. What's a benefit of admitting when you're wrong? It will help others who may follow your example. I've watched people walk an aisle at a church and say, you know, I've watched young people walk an aisle and say, today I've made the decision. I'm going to obey my mom and dad. I've not been doing well at that. And you know something? That can spark a revival among other people. When people see the humility of the admission of guilt, others may then follow in their footsteps. What's a benefit of admitting when you and I are wrong? Well, I think it's a great character builder. I think it's also a revealer of one's character. I think it takes the greatness of character to say the words, I was wrong. I was wrong. What is it? It is scriptural truth and principle superseding your emotions and your desires. You're doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And that's very good for you. If you do everything because you feel like it, if you do everything because of what you get out of it, then folks, when you don't get anything out of it and when it doesn't feel good, you're just going to do wrong. We're not supposed to do right because it feels good. We're not supposed to do right because we get something out of it. You're to do right because right is right to do. But admitting to wrong is a good character builder. Next, let me tell you this. A benefit to admitting to God when you're wrong, admitting to the person that you've hurt that you're wrong, a benefit is staying in church. I've got news for you. If you're going to stay in church for long, you're going to have to learn to admit when you're wrong. Because I'll tell you what will happen. I'll stand up here and I'll preach. You'll eventually get mad at me. Because I'll tell you what the Bible says, and I'll tell you this is right. And when you are doing wrong, and you won't admit that you're wrong about the wrong that you're doing, one of two things is going to go in your thinking. It's either you or me. So you'll get mad at the preacher. You'll get mad at your parents. You'll get mad at the boss. But let me say, if you do wrong, and you won't admit to doing wrong, if you won't admit it to God. And just so you all know, I'm not a Catholic priest. You don't have to confess your sin to me. I'm not asking you to confess your sin to me. I am saying to you, though, if you do wrong and you won't admit that you do wrong, sooner or later you're going to get mad at the megaphone that keeps talking about that wrong. You know, see, back, you know, let's say you're stealing from your mom's purse. When you weren't stealing from your mom's purse, and young people, if you're stealing from your mom's purse, that's a sin. That's wrong. Okay? But you know something? Back when you were not stealing from your mom's purse, and I said, don't steal from your mom's purse, it didn't bother you. You liked me. But after you stole from your mom's purse, and then I harp on stealing from your mom's purse, if you don't get it right, you're going to get upset with me. The truth has not changed. Your obedience is what changed. There are some of you, you used to believe right. Now you're doing wrong. So now you're renegotiating in your own mental capacity what is right and what is wrong. Why? Because you're now wrong. And you end up out of church over it if you're not careful. What's another benefit of admitting when we're wrong? Confessing to God we're wrong. Confessing to the teacher that we're wrong, or to mom, or to dad. Another is this. You'll stay married that way. You'll stay married that way. Look, Mrs. Owens and I celebrate our 35th anniversary just a few days ago. I can't tell you how many times she and I have had to come to terms with the fact that she was wrong. Oh, there's nothing like eating crow with your spouse. But I've watched married people that will not admit they're wrong. Now, that's going to wear your husband or wear your wife out sooner or later. If any relationship where someone does wrong in the relationship, but the wrong party will not take a moment to say, I was wrong, I sinned, sooner or later, you're going to wear that relationship down. And it may not last. So, I said this. I said, number one, I taught you a whole list of people in the Bible that said I was wrong. Secondly, I gave you the circumstances under which they had committed that wrong or sin. We looked at them. Then, I've given you a list of benefits when we confess or when we admit that we're wrong. Number four, what caused them to finally say they were wrong? Oh, and listen to this. Because if you're wrong and you don't want to admit you're wrong, if you've sinned and you don't want to confess it to God, listen to the processes. It could be one of these. It could be a combination of these. If you're not careful, it could be all of these. But did you know something? God has a way of getting your attention and getting you to admit you're wrong. Me and my brother could fuss. We could get in fights. Shouldn't have, but we did. Well, for the longest time, I was the big brother. And if I wanted to get something out of my younger brother, you know, I could get him down. I could twist his arm. I could play spit tag with him. You know what spit tag is? That's where you hold him down and you spit, but you don't let it loose. And it drips down till it almost hits his face, and like a yo-yo, you suck her back in. That's where they got waterboarding. But I could get him. I can remember one time I said, say you're a sissy. He said, I'm not going to do it. I said, say you're a sissy. He said, I'm not going to do it. I got him down till he finally said, okay, I'm a sissy. Let me up. Now, let me explain. If you do wrong and you won't humble down, God can twist your arm. You can wish you wouldn't have been so deceptive. God can make it so you will wish you had not let your pride get the better of you. For instance, let me tell you about some of the circumstances. What are some of the promptings that came in some of these people's lives that caused them to wake up and say, okay, I admit, I'm wrong, I sinned, I did wrong. David, the preaching of a preacher got David's attention. 2 Samuel 12:7, it says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. What happened is the preacher got up and wasn't afraid to tell the difference between right and wrong, and he took his long, old bony finger and pointed out at the crowd and said, you're the one. And that happened. Nathan told David, knock it off. And finally, David said, whoa, okay, all right, I'm wrong. The prodigal son, what caused him to admit he was wrong? Well, he just about destroyed his life. He went to the pig pen. He lost everything. Do you want to have to go to the pig pen to finally admit your behavior's wrong? Do you want to lose everything? Probably he lost his purity while he was gone. You want to lose it all before you're going to admit it's wrong. It's wrong. Saul. What caused Saul to admit that he had sinned or he was wrong? I think it was the righteousness of one of God's people that convicted him, that got him on track. See, while Saul was thoroughly jealous over David, and while Saul was seeking revenge, the wrong kind of revenge, he was jealous about David. David spared Saul's life on more than one occasion, and David was not wrong. Saul was wrong. Finally, Saul even said of David, he said, "You're a better man than me. You're a better man." What had happened? I believe David's proper behavior brought conviction in Saul's life to where Saul said, "Okay, I was wrong." Has somebody else behaved right? And if they have, that ought to prompt you to want to confess when you do wrong. Judas. Why did Judas say, remember when I read the scripture to you earlier, when he said, "I betrayed innocent blood"? Well, why is it that he would have said that? Well, I think Judas found out that there was a lack of satisfaction from the world. He found there was a lack of satisfaction from that which he was seeking for doing wrong. For instance, you remember Judas received 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. What did he do with it? He threw it away. You know what happened? He said, "I want it." He got it. Said it didn't satisfy. It didn't satisfy. I'll tell you something. You do wrong, you're going to find there's not as much satisfaction in doing wrong as what you think. The Bible even says he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and he went and hung himself, the Bible says. You talk about a sad turnout. He admitted that he was wrong. Let's go on. Balaam. What happened? With Balaam, the reason why Balaam admitted to his wrong, I think it was the presence of Almighty God in his life. Listen to this. The Bible says in Numbers 22:31, it says, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way." And that's a piece of a whole story. But Balaam was wrong, and God showed up, and God convicted Balaam, and Balaam said, "God has made it clear to me I was wrong." And all these are tools of God. Job. You say, what affected Job? Why did Job admit that Job was wrong? I think it was his conscience. Listen to what Job 7, verse 20 says. He said, "I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself?" He said, "I'm a burden to myself." What was happening? The internal part of Job was tearing him up. Job knew better. Job knew he was wrong. And Job's conscience was eating at him. And let me tell you something. If you've done wrong, if you're doing wrong, and your conscience isn't bothering you, you better watch out. Because if your conscience has been seared, if your conscience has become numb, God will have to go to more powerful ways of getting your attention. Now, those are prompters to get us to admit when we're wrong. Now, one last application and we'll be done. The lost, if you're here today and you're not lost, you better very soon admit you're a sinner and you're wrong. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. You know what that means? Nobody's right all the time. You've done wrong. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that's saying? God never does wrong, and you fall short of that. God never does wrong, but you fall short of wrong. If you don't admit you're wrong in regard to salvation, you'll die and go to hell. Now, if you're a saved person and you won't admit that you're wrong, you will not die and go to hell, but you will destroy a part of your life by not admitting when you're wrong. I believe, as Christians, we should live our lives, and we are to be willing, when necessary, to say, "I was wrong. I sinned. I did not handle that right." Marriages need some honesty. And listen, if your husband or if your wife or if your child comes to you and say, "Listen, God spoke to my heart and I did wrong and I want to admit to it," let me tell you something. Well, you ought to, there ought to be an element of respect for the confession. There ought to be a treatment of dignity. It's now, I believe even if your mate or your parents are going to fly off the end of the handle, you ought to still admit to the wrong. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't it be so much nicer if someone actually obeyed the scripture and said, I was wrong, and you handled it the right way? Are they petrified of you because you're just a mean, a hateful, angry person? It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Now, you say, does that mean I won't get in trouble? No, you may still get grounded. But it doesn't mean that I hate you. So, helping people by admitting when we have sinned, or admitting when we're wrong. You'll go to hell if you won't admit you're wrong if you're unsaved. You may have a life full of tragedy if you're saved and you won't admit that you're wrong. Because God has a way of convincing you to admit. You say, does he do that because he hates me? No, he does that because he loves you. He knows what's best is that you get this thing cleared up between you and God. You're limiting his usefulness of you. You're limiting his power on your life. You're limiting the peace that he wants to make available in your life. And so, it says, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I've sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people, and they're wicked. Pharaoh was not even a saved person or a good man, but he said, I was wrong. Sad that unsaved sometimes behave better than the saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, tucked in the sermon, is a lesson. There's something there for each and every one of us. Let me ask the question, and I do in a very general fashion, but let it be personal. Who here tonight would say, you know, preacher, I understand. I see what the scripture teaches. I understand. I need to be willing to confess my sin. I need to be willing to confess my wrong in an effort to be right with my God. And I see it. And God has spoken to my heart. I see it. I either need to practice it or be willing to practice it when necessary. But God has spoken to my heart about this issue of confessing my wrong. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? God bless you. You may put your hand down. How many ever do wrong? How many of you ever do wrong? Would you raise your hand? Some of you still don't raise your hand. You're not paying attention to a lick of thing I'm saying. You can put your hands down. You got me so shut off. I asked the question, how many of you do wrong? You got me so shut off, you won't even admit that you do wrong. That is arrogance and pride. You're probably pretty backslidden. Because we all do wrong. The Bible says, if any man saith not sin, he's a liar. Truth is not in him. We all do wrong. You might want to search your heart. Somebody here tonight, let me tell you something. I don't know what goes on in your life. I do know this. If God has reached down and tried to convict you and you wouldn't let him tonight, you may be climbing over a fence that God does not want you to climb over. You may find yourself in a lot of trouble soon. If God wanted to help you tonight and you won't let him, you are rejecting his conviction in your life. Be careful. In a moment, the pianist will begin to play. Once she begins to play, we'll stand. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. You don't need to confess sin to me. I'm just a man. You might need to confess to God. And it may even be there's a human being that you need to get with and say, listen, I did wrong. Let the apology heal a relationship. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Is it pride? Is it rebellion against parents? Is it disloyalty? Is it stealing? Is it being a bad example to the people around you? Is it disrespect for the chosen leader of your life? Is it you wanting to serve God your way but not God's way? Is it yoking up with the liberal, the weak crowd? That's where your standards, your convictions, you're satisfied with living less instead of what you were trained and you know God would have you do. The whole sermon is, what's the deal? What's the importance of admitting when we're wrong? Ushers, if there are any more of the prayer bulletins available, we'll give the last of them out if they're needed here in a moment. Let the preaching convict you. Let somebody else's good behavior convict you. Let the lack of satisfaction that you're getting out of this thing convict you. Let the Word of God convict you. Let your conscience convict you. This is the last time through the song and we'll be done. Helping people by simply admitting when we're wrong. Hey, one of the people you're apt to help the most is you. It's you.